Please rise. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
Please be seated. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Let his wrath be kindled but a little.
Why do nations rage?
And the people plot a vain thing.
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together.
Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
let us break their bonds in pieces.
And cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the heavens shall laugh.
And the Lord shall hold them in derision.
He shall speak to them in his wrath.
And distress them in his deep displeasure.
Yet I have set my king
on my holy hill of Zion.
I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me.
You are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance,
and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron.
You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore be wise, O kings.
Be instructed, you judges of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry,
and you perish in the way.
When his wrath is kindled but a little,
blessed are all those who put their trust in him.
Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling.
When his wrath is kindled but a little,
thank you.
Psalm 27. Do not leave me nor forsake me,
O God of my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life.
Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh,
my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell.
Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though the war may rise against me, in this I will be confident.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the beauty of the Lord,
and to inquire in his temple.
For the time of trouble,
he shall hide me in his pavilion.
In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me.
He shall set me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me.
Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice.
Have mercy also upon me, and answer me.
When you said, seek my face,
my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek.
Do not hide your face from me.
Do not turn your servants away in anger.
You have been my help.
Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me,
then the Lord will take care of me.
Teach me your way, O Lord.
And lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies.
Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries.
For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as bring out violence.
I would have lost heart unless I had believed
that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Do not leave me nor forsake me,
O God of my salvation.
Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness.
According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions,
and my sin is always before me.
Against you, you only have I sinned,
and done this evil in your sight,
that you may be found just when you speak,
and blameless when you judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity,
and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts,
and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean.
Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness,
that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins,
and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence,
and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation,
and uphold me by your generous spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways,
and sinners shall be converted to you.
Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation,
and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it.
You do not delight in burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit,
a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise.
Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering.
Then you shall offer bulls on your altar.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity,
and cleanse me from my sin.
How shall I find some?
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me, unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." And Pilate therefore heard that saying. He brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation, the day of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away.
Thank you.
Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Palace, the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. How Pilate wrote the title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, the King of the Jews," but he said, "I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which says, they divided my garments amongst themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the day of preparation, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen this is testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones shall be broken." And again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been buried. So that they laid Jesus there because of the Jews' preparation day, because the tomb was nearby. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Our text for this evening is John 3. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, Unless one is born with water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man shall be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Dear saints in Christ, one of the times that the Israelites were grumbling and complaining against God in the desert, after they had been brought out of slavery to God, out of slavery to Pharaoh, God sent fiery serpents to punish them. The word fiery probably refers to what they looked like. They had a shiny, almost metallic brown skin. These serpents were poisonous. They bit the people, and many people died. So then the Israelites confessed their sin of grumbling against God, and they asked Moses to intervene. Moses did. And the Lord told him to make a model, to make a little statue of one of the serpents, to put it on a pole. He chose to make it out of bronze. Then he lifted up the pole with the bronze statue of a serpent on it. And anyone who was bit by a serpent, who looked at the model of the bronze serpent on the pole, was cured. But this is quite a peculiar account. So then here comes along Jesus. And he says to Nicodemus that this is what will happen to him. This is what will happen to Jesus. That he will be lifted up. And whoever looks at him, that is, whoever believes in him, whoever looks at the cross and sees God as love, will live. When the people sinned, God sent serpents. That should remind you of the form Satan took when he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, if you are to be spared from the serpent, you look to the one the Father sent, and whom the Father forsook on your behalf upon the cross. Is lifted up from the earth as a sacrifice, and your sins are upon him. The Father declares the Son to be his own enemy, to be Satan, a worm and no man, because of those sins. He hands the Son over to the worst possible fate, to the most shameful an excruciating death, just in order to have you as his adopted sons and daughters, so that you might look upon him and live. This is what the Son of Man has descended from heaven for. Now this is the immediate context of John 3:16. John 3:16 deserves the affection of the church. It is a favorite hymn, or a favorite reading, and it is worthy of it. But I want you to know that John 3:16 is actually better than most people think. You see, there's more to it. Pastor Mo will tell you that context is always your friend, not simply required for good scholarship, but actually how God talks to you. The bronze serpent thing is a setup for God so loved the world. Now there's that word, for, and for God so loved the world. And it means because. So whoever looks at Jesus upon the cross will have eternal life. Because that is how God loved the world. Looking at Jesus upon the cross is looking into the heart of the Father, seeing and knowing as he wants to be seen and known. Looking is believing. And that isn't just for poetic device. You see, it ties verse 16 with verses 14 and 15, which make verse 16 the cause of the serpent bite and Jesus being lifted up from the earth. So this is both grammar and logic. You can't start out with the blue with the word because if the verse starts with for, or therefore, or because. You have to look where it comes from. You also tend to mishear that word so. In the sentence, the word so is not an intensifier. This passage does not mean God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. It sounds like that in the modern English. That is not what it means. The word so means in this way. Now, you still use this word so that way when you say it isn't so, or is that so? You don't mean say it isn't so much. There is no uncertainty in Greek. The word here is never a matter of emphasis or intensity. It always means in this way or in this manner. Despite that, this is a difficult passage to update from the King James Bible, since it is so well loved. I wish they would have updated it in the New King James or the English Standard Version. How should it sound? God loved the world in this way. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Or, this is how God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son. All that to say that this passage is not about the depth of God's love. Rather, it is about the process. That is, the way that God loves. Now, there are passages that wax on how inexpressible and how deep this love is. But not this one. There is no emotion here. This is simply Jesus explaining how his love acts, what his love does. This is the process. God loves the world by giving his only begotten Son over to Satan and death upon the cross. You see, love isn't a feeling or an emotion here. Here, love is an action. He loves you by rescuing you, by giving his son to death, in order to give you eternal life. Dear saints in Christ, this is the heart of your faith and hope. This is the essence of Christianity, and this is the reason that you unabashedly, without shame or regret or embarrassment, call this day Good Friday. If you didn't call it that, and you don't like it to be called Holy Friday, your only real option then would be Love Friday. You see, the Son of Man has been lifted up in love. So gaze upon him by faith and be saved from Satan's poison. For this is how God has so loved you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with our next hymn that's inserted in your bulletin.
Thank you.
lights for prayer. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would ask, have us ask, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men, to suffer death upon the cross, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and to remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, Emmanuel, will ransom captive Israel. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? Nails, spears shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for you, for me. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the Babe, the Son of Mary. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by men rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis he. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. Proof I see sufficient of it, it's the true and faithful word.